Welcome to Well Grounded. This is Randy Conan from the Red River Farm Network.
And this is Jason Menke from Acres and Shares.
And this podcast brings together experts from the world of agriculture and real estate. We'll talk about farmland values, industry trends, and the economy.
In this edition of Well Grounded, our guest is Ernie Goss. Goss is a prominent professor at Creighton University and regional economist, whose specialty is making economics understandable and relatable, not just to students, business executives, community leaders, and policymakers, but to people of all walks of life. Randy, I think this is going to be awesome because I think we might even understand it today.
I hope so, anyway. Yeah, exactly. Well, Dr. Goss is the director of the Institute for Economic Inquiry and a professor of economics at Creighton University's Helder College of Business, where he holds the Jack A. McAllister Chair in Regional Economics. He's also the director of the Goss Institute for Economic Research in Denver, Colorado, which is a bipartisan think tank conducting business and economic research and providing innovative practical recommendations that affect change and public policy.
Welcome, Ernie.
Well, thank you, Randy and Jason. Good to be with you. And as Alan Greenspan famously said when he was head of the Federal Reserve a few years back, he said before testimony before Congress, he said, if you understood what I just said, I misspoke. And I take the opposite approach. Yeah. I take the opposite approach. If you don't understand me, it's because I didn't make it clear enough. It should be clear. And some people will sometimes ask and say, well, do farmers really, do they understand all this stuff? And I'm like, are you kidding me? I only teach supply and demand. These farmers live it. So they can tell me a lot more about supply and demand than I can to them. But yeah, I'm glad to be with you today.
Well, thank you. Before we started recording, we found out that Ernie and I have a common connection. We're both Creighton basketball fans. I became a fan in 2010 when Greg McDermott became the head coach. For those of you who don't know, shortly after he was done playing college basketball at Northern Iowa, Greg was an assistant basketball coach at the University of North Dakota in Grand Forks right about the same time I started college. So a lot of fun to watch him go to Northern Iowa and various places, Iowa State, and he's done a great job at Creighton. Especially fun to watch Doug play from 2010 to 14. Ernie, what's your take on Creighton basketball this year?
I'm loving it. It's a lot of ups and downs. It's sort of like grain prices. You know, there's a lot of volatility there, and usually it's on the good side, but sometimes on the not so good side. As you know, last year we made the Sweet 16. This year we'll hopefully do Sweet 16. Who knows? It's a very volatile. The teams has their ups and downs, but hopefully they'll be all up.
Well, it's fun to have those interesting localized connections. However, people aren't tuning in to listen to us talk about sports. So, Ernie, we've got some interesting times in the world right now. I'm not sure many people understood Ukraine's prominence in agriculture and what widespread impacts the Russian attacks would have. Can you please share your take as a regional economist?
Well, Jason, as most everyone knows, a lot of corn, wheat's a major commodity that's being affected by the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And that's then the spillovers we're seeing. And we're seeing grain, for example, wheat prices at record levels. We're seeing corn and soybean pulled up as well. And all in all, and oil prices up above some of the highest levels we've seen since 2007 and 8, when we had oil prices at $140 a barrel. Didn't reach $140 a barrel, but it's close. Today we had a significant sell-off in oil, and so oil prices dropped today, but it's very volatile. And so farmers out there and individuals got to figure out how to protect yourself against this volatility in either your own stock portfolio, your own commodities, or your own operations, or your business, or your farm.
Well, the whole thing too kind of can impact just not only general economy, but land values longer term too, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Randy. We're tracking our survey. We do a monthly survey of bank CEOs in rural areas of 10 states, and they're telling us loud and clear that farmland prices are growing now at the fastest pace that we've recorded since we began the survey in 2006. But we're seeing some of the best numbers perhaps ever. Now, that's best for, of course, tax collections, and we're talking about that. In other words, farmland prices are being pushed up. For example, in Iowa, now this is not from our survey, but from the Federal Reserve District, Chicago Federal Reserve, 30% growth between January of 2020 and January of 2021, 30% in Iowa farmland price. Now, that's their number. Our numbers don't support that. We're seeing a lot, some of the best numbers. Again, if you're wanting to see higher farmland prices, you're getting it in spades now.
So with this war going on then, and especially with the high fuel oil prices, fertilizer prices, will that kind of put a lid on some of these land prices down the road then?
It will. In other words, farmers are, of course, like everyone else, concerned about the gap between the two. That's on the revenue side, and revenues are busting out at the seams, but so are your costs. So the gap between that's what we're concerned about. And I expect 2022 net farm income to be down from 2021, but we'll have to wait and see. Anything could happen between now and the end of the year. But right now, fertilizer costs up 300%. And of course, that's natural gas prices are a big part of that. And of course, natural gas prices in Nebraska, for example, you see natural gas being used for irrigation. It's not just Nebraska, but other states that we survey. And that's, of course, a big cost increase. And of course, insecticide, all the costs that farmers are, the inputs are costing more. And we asked the bank CEOs about what they saw as the biggest challenge to farming operations in 2022. Now, this was back before the invasion of Russia into the Ukraine. And they said rising input costs, but also we're seeing a lot of supply chain disruptions. For example, not only getting the higher priced fertilizer, for example, but getting the fertilizer, getting it in because of freight issues. So those are big issues out there for the farming communities.
Yeah, farming is not for the faint of heart right now. There's a lot of big numbers. As you mentioned, the income numbers could look tremendous, but also a lot of big numbers on the input side of it. For those guys who are trying to protect themselves by playing the future markets, get ready for the margin calls when things are so all over the board right now.
And I've seen just as I read the markets here for the network, and it almost seems like you get a few of these guys that are just afraid to right now to put a position on because they don't want to get on the wrong side of this thing. Because when you start seeing limit moves first up and then down, you get stuck in this and you can't get out of it until you're basically bankrupt.
Well, but on that, Randy and Jason, you can't, as it sometimes says, you don't lose money by selling at a profit. In other words, right now, there's probably a lot of profit in the positions right now. In other words, that's corn or soybean, or what we're talking about is in the bins. Of course, you can buy it back later. And again, if the input prices continue to grow at I call it unsustainable pace, but obviously it's been sustained for quite some time now, you run the risk of prices. On the revenue side, you could see grain prices coming back down. Now, again, that's outside my ability to forecast because of, again, what's going on in the mind of Vladimir Putin. And if you know what's in his mind, well, you're better than his therapist, I'll promise you.
Yeah, the rise in farmland value. So I'm a farmland broker in North Dakota and Minnesota, and, 2021 was highest net farm income since 2013, and right now, as you mentioned, just a lot of wild cards heading into 2022. I mean, it could easily outshine one or both of those years, or you know, it could fall back a little bit with a little bit less government support. So certainly something for folks to pay attention to, because it will have a huge impact on land values this spring and this fall.
Also, Jason, something we haven't talked about is the China wild card. In other words, we talk about black swans, and that, of course, is an event that's a low probability but high cost. And that would be China doing reconnaissance or flyovers of Taiwan. Now, we all knew that the invasion of Russia into Ukraine was likely to come after the Olympics. Well, we also looking and seeing what China does after the Olympics. The Winter Olympics just ended, and that would be a real big issue. In other words, what's happening between Russia and Ukraine is big, but what's going on, what could go on between China and Taiwan is even bigger. And seeing trade restrictions, for example, you know, we could, if we erect barriers to China products coming in, they retaliate, erect barriers to our soybean going into China, our pork going into China. That ripples across the region, and the ability of the federal government to do anything about it in terms of support for farm income is less than it was back the last time this happened.
So the war is the biggest headline right now. We're recording this in the first part of March 2022. The other thing that certainly makes a lot of headlines these days is inflation. Let's start, Ernie, by just kind of letting folks, giving them kind of overview of what inflation historically has done with land values, and then we'll talk about today.
Okay. Well, as you know, and most farmers know, and a little inflation is good for agriculture. Well, what's a little? 2 to 3%. We're now at 7.5%. Now, tomorrow morning, now we're recording this the day before the latest inflation numbers come out, and those are going to be even more dramatic. In other words, even more, probably even more than 7.5% increase year over year. And that really, really has some impacts, of course, on borrowing costs. And what it's going to do, of course, is the Federal Reserve is caught between a rock and a hard place. They need to be raising interest rates to quell or squash or pull down inflationary pressures. But at the same time, we've got an economy that's slowing down because of what's going on in the global community, the global economy. So it's really a tough situation. Well, the Fed is going to raise rates this month, March the 16th. That'll be announced by, unless something very strange happens, by Jay Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve. And of course, what happens after that, of course, that increases farmers' borrowing cost on the short end, but also they cut back on the long end. That's buying the treasury bonds, what's called the quantitative easing, or buying those bonds. They've now, that buying ends this month, that's the month of March. But the question becomes, what do they do to the bonds that they already own? Do they allow them to mature, or do they continue holding those bonds or buy? And that's a big, big, big issue, because obviously if they reverse it, then long-term interest rates will be rising. And that, of course, affects borrowing land and land interest rates on land, farmland. And that would have some negative, I'll say it, it'll at least put some of a bit of a lid on farmland price increases. And we'll have to wait and see there.
Yeah, and I think that almost ties back with the commodity prices that we talked about and where net farm income ends up at this year. Will those two offset each other? Or, you know, if they both go in the wrong direction, it could see this land market taper off a bit.
Absolutely. And my colleague and I, he's a political scientist, and when two academics sit around and he's asking me, is it now a good time to buy farmland? When two academics start talking about buying it, it's probably a good time to be at least selling it or holding. I'm not sure. It's a tough time to be making that decision right now, because I expect the growth to slow a bit. And of course, the farmer's not in the business of selling land. That farmer's in the business of selling ag commodities. So it's not the increase in the farmland reflects a good time in agriculture, but it increases the For example, the property taxes that the farmer has to pay to the, in terms of support for local government. And also, again, I do think that 2022, we won't see the growth in farmland prices this year that we saw in 2021.
How much does the energy costs, we're all watching these gas prices go through the roof. Will that play a factor here too?
Oh, absolutely, Randy. The farmers, of course, are big users of energy related products, whether it's fuel for their vehicles or heating, whatever that we're talking about. And that's they're big users, and that it does play into the increasing cost of inputs and the cost of production. And it is big time, and we will continue to see those impacts because the inflation outlook is not good right now. And that's look at the PPI, the producer price index, or the wholesale price index, and see where that's going. I quoted the CPI, the consumer price index, which is what consumers pay. But on the PPI, we're even talking above 10% now year over year. Those are some big numbers, and that affects the farmer directly in the farmer's cost. And we'll probably continue to see that growing at an unsustainable pace, at least over the next few months.
What we've seen up in eastern North Dakota, northwest Minnesota, there's certainly land for sale, but the volume is less than we saw last fall. So I think that's another thing that, you know, will play out in this along with the farm income and interest rates. So that's the other trend to follow, I think, to see where land values go. But I agree with your comments. It's tough to see this thing, you know, up and to the right continuously here, you know, for the next few years.
That's right. And that, you know, these prices, of course, reflect the good agricultural commodity prices. And some, of course, you're selling. You're talking about investors as well, buying in farmland, whether they're living in California and buying farmland in Iowa and Nebraska, North Dakota and South Dakota. We are seeing some of that. We'll see some of that pull back as the commodity price growth. I expect that to cool somewhat.
Ernie, you do the Main Street Index every month. You mentioned it in your newsletter. What sentiment are you getting from Main Street, from the bankers out in rural America? What are their thoughts?
Their thoughts were, even this is before the invasion of Russia and the Ukraine, they expected commodity prices to come down. Now, chiefly, we're talking about the three in terms of grain. We're talking about corn, wheat, and soybean. They expected 2 to 2.5% decline. Now that's off the table, of course, but they're not as positive this year as they were last year. There's just too many the global economy just looks a lot more fragile with China and Russia threatening, whether it's Taiwan or Ukraine, and carrying through on the threats in terms of Ukraine. That's just the ag commodity prices, the agriculture is front and center, and of course, in terms of the global economy. And we're seeing also, Randy, the value of the dollar. Keep an eye on the value of the dollar. When that value of the dollar goes up, that hurts agricultural commodity prices. Other things equal now, are other things ever equal? But nonetheless, the dollar is not moving in a good direction right now. And certainly the ruble, the Russian ruble, but the euro, the yen and the yuan, all those, the dollar's moving up against it, moving up against those currencies in overall. So that's a problem for the agricultural farm income and farmland prices for that matter.
Let's go back to inflation for a minute. So we kind of veered back from inflation over to interest rates, but for our listeners, Ernie, can you just tell them historically, like with inflation, it's typically been a good asset, or land has typically been a good asset class to hold during inflation. But can you explain that a little bit and what you're seeing now as well?
Well, you know, the farmer, of course, is, as I said earlier, that farmer's not in the business selling farmland, but it does reflect what's going on in terms of farm commodity prices. And what we're likely to see is those commodity prices, the growth is going to be cooling somewhat. And then with oil prices, with that huge, that significant volatility, but that's reflecting I would say the base, what we're talking about is $80 a barrel on the downside for oil, $80. And we've been seeing it above $120 to $130 a barrel. We saw it hit $140 a barrel back in 2008, I think that was. And that of course, has some huge impacts on the cost side for farmers. And that's reflected in their demand for farmland. But typically farmland is a good asset to hold. And it has been, of course. And what were the real, there's some real concerns out there, what happens in terms of interest rates. But the interest rates typically follow those inflation numbers. I mean, interest rates, there's a disconnect right now, a huge disconnect right now, Randy and Jason, in terms of the inflation and interest rates. Interest rates should be much higher than what we're seeing right now, but they're not. Now, why are they not? It's because of fear. There's huge fear across the globe, and fear means that investors are fleeing to the safest asset they can find, and that is our bonds, our U.S. Treasury bonds. So the yields right now are unusually, and I would say unrepeatable, low rates. So as inflation really gets hold and as the risks come off, we see lower risk, you'll see those interest rates rise. So if I'm a farmer out there, I'm borrowing now, I'm not borrowing later. I just don't think there's more of an upside in terms of interest rates. And so if you're intending to borrow to buy land, now's the time to borrow to buy land and borrow to buy anything. In fact, on the short end, we're apt to see by the end of the year, our bankers say on the short end, that would be anything less than 5 years. You're talking about the prime interest rate is going to be up from current rate of 3.25%, probably up to 4.5% to 5%, 5% on the high side by the end of 2022. So that's how much growth you're likely to see in rates below anything less than 5 years.
Ernie, anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I think, I think the community out there, I mean, farmers understand this obviously better than I understand it, is you're in this global market and you're affected by the global changes. And I came to Nebraska, my family and I, in 1992. Things have changed significantly, obviously for other industries as well, but more for agriculture, in that you're affected by more of these global factors. And one thing it concerns me is what happens in terms of trade embargoes or trade restrictions. And that's what I'm really concerned about. That would be the big black swan. And the ability of the U.S. government to provide support as barriers are erected for the land. For example, the last time barriers were erected between China and the U.S., the federal government was able to come in and provide some support for the agriculture. I don't think they're there this time. And so I'm just a little concerned, obviously, going forward with this potential volatility in agricultural commodity prices, but also on the other side, the input costs going up. But all that will be affected, of course, by any trade restrictions, trade embargoes, the Chinese doing reconnaissance flights around Taiwan and shipping around Taiwan. Those would be huge issues. And what would the Biden administration do to respond to that?
Ernie, you have a bunch of different things that you work on. What's the best way that people can follow, like your Main Street reports and other things that you do? Are you on social media, website? Let folks know how to follow your stuff.
Okay, I have a newsletter that comes out monthly, and that's, you can go to GossAndAssociates.com and sign up for the newsletter. That's it's one word, GossAndAssociates.com. But also you can see our survey results at Creighton University in the Hyder College of Business. We're listed there providing our survey of bank CEOs. We also do a survey of supply managers in manufacturing. So obviously both the manufacturing and agriculture are being whipsawed by the global, what the changes in the global economy, the global markets out there. So both of our surveys are getting scrutiny across the globe right now. And you can see that at Creighton University, and go into the Hyder College of Business and you'll see our results there. And you can also email me at erniegh@creighton.edu. That's erniegh@creighton.edu.
Thanks to Ernie Goss for being part of this conversation.
The Well-Grounded Podcast is a presentation of Acres and Shares and the Red River Farm Network. You can find this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. It's also available at rrfn.com and acresandshares.com. Until next time, I'm Randy Conan.
And I'm Jason Menke.